We have to remember Christmas and Resurrection Day. On Christmas, we celebrate one day. More than likely, and probably not, Jesus was not born on December 25th. Probably wasn't born on December 25th. He was probably born in early spring, about March. Does that take your faith away from Jesus Christ? Nope, it better not. If it does, you're in trouble. We celebrate the birth, which is a fact. Is it probable that Jesus died on April 4th? Probably not. Does that matter? The fact is that he rose from the grave, not what day it was. Amen?
Amen.
Because if Jesus had not raised from the dead, you all are wasting your time in church. According to Scripture, this is Scripture, not me. You're a fool if you're worshiping Jesus who died and is still dead. You're a fool. Then Paul comes back with, but he has raised from the dead. We have been on a journey now for quite a few weeks. We have made our way following Jesus from the point of where it says in Scripture in Luke chapter 9 that he turned his face, and according to the King James, like flint, and headed to Jerusalem. That was now the time that Jesus knew this is now becoming the fullness of my mission. And he now starts toward Jerusalem, and nothing's going to stop him. No disciples, no army, no nothing is going to stop Jesus from getting to Jerusalem. He has a date with Jerusalem. Jerusalem is so important. That's where Jesus will die. And Jesus spends the last couple weeks, and we found him at going to the tomb and raising Lazarus from the dead. Remember? And then we find Jesus back in Bethany at Simon the leper's house, and there this woman had the audacity to break open a flask of pure nard and fill the room with a fragrant odor and pour it or anoint Jesus on his feet, on his head, and then dried his feet with her hair. How gross. No, what Jesus said is, let her go. She is preparing me for a burial. Which it's a good thing that she did it right then. Jesus didn't get that opportunity because his death happened so late in the day and they couldn't bury him on the Sabbath. He still got anointed. We have made our way into Jerusalem for the triumphal entry. All glory to God. Not just a glory to God in the highest, but God is glory. If it were not for the glory of God, we wouldn't be here. And God would be nothing. But God is glorious. And our hope, not a wish, but our sure confidence is in the person of glory. And his name is Jesus. He's glorious. He is the most awesome, most awesomest of gods. He's it. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, they're glorious. That week would have been a very difficult one for Jesus. Can you imagine the roller coaster that he went on? Whenever we're with family, we're doing good. Those are the things you remember. You may remember your first car, but chances are by the third or fourth car, you may even forget what you were driving. But the time that you spend with family are the times that you remember. And I think the older you get, the more memory comes back to the good times, the times that you were with family. Jesus made his way to the upper room. He was the Passover lamb. And there he shared the Passover meal with his disciples. And then they made their way to the garden. And Jesus prayed. But at that point, the betrayer was now in the picture, betrayed Jesus. And then he went through a bunch of trials that were absolutely no value. They were going to find Jesus guilty no matter what evidence there was. there was no evidence on who they said he was. And Jesus was crucified. And he was buried. And he was placed in a tomb. And 3 days later, he has risen. 3 days later, he has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Would you, could you proclaim with 100% surety? Could you proclaim with 100% confidence, absolutely no doubt, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave? I have a couple questions. You have just stated 100% that you believe Jesus rose from the grave.
Yes.
Were you there?
No.
Do you have any photographs?
No.
Do you know anyone that was an eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
No.
But yet you're sitting there 100% sure that Jesus rose from the grave. Really? You people must have an awful lot of, you must have an awful lot of faith. By the way, do you realize how blessed you are? First of all, let me ask that again. Do you realize how blessed you are? Jesus told Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Guess what? You were not there. You have no photographs. You do not know anyone who was there. But you have faith. You're blessed. Realize that. Praise God, we're blessed. Faith must have something to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It must. There must be something about this faith, because you all just proclaimed in church that you believe Jesus rose from the grave, and there's not even 1% of doubt. That's called faith. This morning we're going to look at one road. Remember, the series has been the journey to Jerusalem. We have been on many roads, remember? The road to Bethany, the road to Bethany, the road into the into Jerusalem, the road from Jerusalem to Gethsemane. This morning it's a unique road because it's a two-way street, but the road is from Jerusalem to Jerusalem. You see, we're going to look at an account in Scripture that is the most detailed of any recording by any of the Gospels in regards to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the most detailed account that there is in Scripture. And you probably wouldn't even guess it. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24, from Jerusalem to Jerusalem. Faith has everything to do with believing that the person of Jesus Christ, this God-man, raised from the dead. And when he raised from the dead, there is so much that happened because he did raise from the dead. Now there's victory over death, victory over sin, victory over Satan. And since you're aligning yourself with Jesus Christ, if he rose from the grave, you too will be resurrected. That's according to Scripture. It could be that you die physically once. Some of us may be around for the rapture. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I gotta admit, seeing people come up out of the ground would probably just, I don't know what I would do. But I think I want to go up while I'm alive. I would like to start looking down and seeing the earth pull away from me. I'd like to see there more distance. I don't know, that's me. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. But by the way, if I don't make the rapture and I die, I'm going to make the rapture. Amen? Faith has everything to do with believing in the person of Jesus Christ, who raised from the dead. We make our way to the most detailed account of the resurrection that we have, and we may not even realize it. You see, as I ask you the question with 100% surety, and you all had enough faith to go, yeah, that's what I believe, it's because of faith that you could say that. But it's not just because of faith that you can say that. You can say that because you know the person of Jesus Christ. Faith comes because you know Jesus. We're going to get into some really kind of neat stuff with Luke chapter 24. You see, to have that kind of faith requires that you know Jesus. The only way that you could sit there in church and proclaim Jesus rose from the grave is complete faith in the person of Jesus. But the only way that you could have complete faith in the person of Jesus is to know Him. Know Him. And now we make our way on the road to Emmaus. You see, the excitement, the height of the day as it happened on that first day was starting to subside. We're starting to get toward late afternoon, evening. Now, Jesus rose first thing in the morning, remember? As Mary and some of them headed to the tomb, it was still dark. And then we see some of these events throughout the day of Jesus appearing to them. But now, in the most detailed account that we have, it's getting toward evening. And we have two disciples. It does not say apostles. It says two disciples. They were leaving Jerusalem at the end of Sunday and heading to Emmaus, a little tiny town to the west of Jerusalem, 7 miles. Now that's of no importance unless you realize how fast you can walk 7 miles. It's going to take a little while. And you don't have sidewalks. You got a dirt road. Now they left Jerusalem and started toward Emmaus. But the only way that you can have enough faith to say Jesus rose from the grave is that you know Jesus Christ. You have to know Him. Jesus requires that we know Him to have that kind of faith. Luke chapter 24, go to verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus Himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. As we were at the sunrise service this morning, something caught my ear. And it was Mary in at the tomb. And she looks in the tomb and she sees the stone is rolled away. And she knows that there's no Jesus in there. And there is a guy. And she assumes him to be the gardener. And she says, "Where have they taken him?" That's odd. She should have recognized Jesus. And she actually carries on a conversation with him. How could she not recognize Jesus? Well, some people believe, well, he's in his glorified body. But my perception of a glorified body is it's perfect. But I'm also believing it's somewhat like what we got right now. So why did she not recognize Jesus? Well, look at these two guys. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus Himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. Who did the action of preventing? God did. That's cruel. Why would He keep these two guys from recognizing Jesus? By the way, Mary in the garden recognized Jesus Christ. It wasn't with her eyes. It was with her ears when Jesus simply said, "Mary." She knew it was Jesus. These two disciples have been walking somewhere between Jerusalem and Emmaus, 7 miles. Jesus now walks up alongside them, which is really weird, because here's two guys walking on a country road with nothing but dirt and stones around, and here's a guy that just happens to come up out of somewhere and joins in their discussion. They look at Jesus, but they do not recognize him. That's of great importance. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. Why were they looking sad? They thought Jesus was dead, but he was standing right there. They just didn't know it. One of them, named Clopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What? What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him." Jesus said, "What things have happened?" And they now repeat what has happened. You see, there is a difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. There is a difference in knowing him versus knowing of him. Look at these disciples. Jesus said, "What things?" And look what they give him back. He was a man from Nazareth. He was a prophet. He was a teacher. He was a rebel. The authorities delivered him to death. You see, there is a difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. These disciples knew about Jesus Christ. You see, their eyes were not just placed so they couldn't recognize him. There's a purpose in what Jesus is doing. You see, these disciples, you got to give them credit. They knew about Jesus. He was of Nazareth. He was a prophet, a teacher, a rebel. He was delivered up to be dead. They knew about him, but they did not know him to the point that you all do. Now, wait a minute. They lived during that time, and you didn't. You didn't live then. How is it that you can sit there and go 100% surety Jesus rose from the grave, and these guys are on the very day of resurrection, and they don't mention that? What it says is, he's from Nazareth. He's a prophet, a teacher, a rebel. He died because the authorities delivered him up, and he was crucified. And we are sad. You see, they knew about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. To have the faith required to say Jesus rose from the grave, you must know Jesus. Do you ever know anybody that really knows the Bible? They really know it. You see, there's a difference between education and relationship. You see, a lot of people know the Bible. And a lot of people say, "I have read the Bible completely from cover to cover 4 times. I've read it." There's a difference between knowing about and knowing him. A lot of people know about Jesus Christ. Most people do not know him. These disciples knew all about Jesus, everything about Jesus, but they did not know him. They knew the education. They did not have a relationship. Which is better for a Christian, a relationship or education? A relationship will get you to heaven, will it not? Education. Now, don't go off tangent and say he doesn't believe in the Bible. Don't say that. But when you are a new Christian, you're saved because of the relationship. You mature because of the education. Your relationship is first, it's foremost, and it's the most important thing, because that relationship gets you to heaven. Is it good to know the Bible? Yeah. Why? Because it supports absolutely everything in my relationship with Jesus Christ. What Jesus requires is that we know Him, not know about Him. Verse 21, Luke 24, 21. But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things have happened. What were these disciples expecting? I mean, what were they really? They were banking on this. They were banking on Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world and believing in Jesus and taking my sins away and I live in heaven eternally. No. What were they believing? What were they expecting? Is that Jesus was here to set up a kingdom. We will no longer be suppressed by the Romans. We will no longer be under the authority of these religious rulers. We will have a kingdom headed up by Jesus. But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. The third day was really an interesting day, don't you suppose? The third day was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. That's not in that message. What they're hoping on is that Jesus was going to set up a kingdom and set them all free. Well, He did. They just didn't partake of it. They were expecting. You see, they knew about, but they didn't know Jesus. The third day, is really the third day that important? What couldn't it be that Jesus rose on the fourth day? That would be okay, wouldn't it? Or what if Jesus rose on the second day? That would be awesome. No, it wouldn't be awesome at all. Jesus said, as the Son of Man is in the, as Jonah was in the belly of a whale, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth. How many days? Three. I know the tradition that we have set in place for resurrection. Thursday night's Passover, Friday's when He was executed, and Sunday morning He was already living. That's fine. Let's celebrate the event, not necessarily the days. I'll differ with you on what the third day means. But the fact is, He did raise from the dead. That's the important side. They're not getting that. Notice, and it's the third day. Jesus wants us to know Him, not so much about Him. In the tone in which these guys are speaking, Jesus did not live up to their expectations. And if Jesus is not living up to your expectation, what value is Jesus? Jesus was not living up to what they expected. And if since Jesus did not live up to their expectations, Jesus must be a big, fat failure because He did not do what He was supposed to do. How do you perceive Jesus Christ? How do you look at Jesus Christ? Do you look at Jesus as a genie? You see, we all know, we have all seen the cartoons, all the shows. A genie does what? According to the cartoons, grant wishes. Do you accept Jesus and follow Jesus and have a perception of Jesus because He can grant you wishes? If you do, you have the wrong perception of Jesus Christ. He's not in the business to grant you wishes. Matter of fact, I'm thinking the more we get in a relationship with Jesus, the more we don't get what we want. We get what He wants. Jesus is not a genie. If that's how you're looking at Him, you got the wrong view. Jesus is not a babysitter. I may be stepping on toes. Jesus is not a babysitter. A babysitter is one who provides protection in any and every situation, won't let you walk in the water puddles that you want to or splash in the mud like you want to because that's going to get you dirty. Make sure you eat the right kind of food. Jesus is not a babysitter. If you believe that he's your babysitter, you have the wrong view of Jesus Christ. I'm just curious how many have ever gone your own way and it turned out to be a mess. Sometimes it'd really be nice if Jesus go, get back over here. Don't walk out in that street. But he's not your babysitter. He's not a genie. He's not going to grant you your wishes. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He has provided a way that an unholy man can come into the presence of a holy God and live for eternity. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He purchased me. He gave his life so that I could live. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He's our go-between between us and the Father. That's who Jesus is. He's not a wish giver. He's not your babysitter. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, our Mediator. And he does it perfectly, beyond your expectations of who Jesus is. Look at verse 22. You all have faith. Look at verse 22. These are still these disciples. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. Look at these guys. Did they know about Jesus or did they know Jesus? And by the way, I ask you, were you there? Did you take photographs? Did you know somebody who was there? You said, no, we don't need that because we got faith. These guys were there. They got firsthand account from the women. But to be quite honest, what guy listens to a woman? By the way, culture at that time, the cultural status was men, children, women, slaves. The women, we heard from the women that Jesus rose from the grave, but quite honestly, they're women. Oh, but, yeah, I remembered. Some of the guys that we were with, they went and they saw and Jesus was not there. You see, these disciples lack something. You all said, I got faith. They did not believe the women. And if some that were with them said, Jesus is not in that tomb, why are these guys so sad? They didn't believe them either. But you got faith because you have seen me. You have believed. But blessed is Faith Community Chapel because they believe and have not seen. Jesus requires that we know him. Jesus requires that our eyes be opened, that our eyes be taken from darkness and brought into light. Our eyes must be open to see who Jesus is. Verse 22. But also some women among us, when they were at the tomb early in the morning, they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Their eyes are just beginning to see something at this point. Jesus is starting to open their eyes. Jesus is using apologetics. Please do not misunderstand. Apologetics does not mean I apologize for the word of Jesus Christ. Apologetics is Greek meaning defense of the faith. Jesus is using apologetics. How does he use apologetics? You guys, you know the Old Testament. You will find me in the Old Testament, starting with, now he starts with Moses. You see, these guys were guys. They knew the Old Testament. They would have to know the Old Testament. They would have to have memorized the first five books of Scripture. It was a requirement for all Jewish males. They would know that. And Jesus starts to say, okay, now let's get your eyes opened a little bit. And he starts with Moses. And he says, surely you know the Old Testament prophets. You know Moses. You can see me if you can see and you understand Moses. In these Old Testament prophets, you can start to know me. You should know me. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet Isaiah, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Surely you disciples know that. Surely the news has traveled that I have been born of a virgin. Guess what, guys? I'm the one Isaiah is talking about. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. The prophet says, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. Disciples, you should know me from the Old Testament. It should be more than I come from Nazareth and that I was a teacher and a rebel. You should understand and know where I came from and what my purpose is. And they would know the Old Testament. He's just beginning to open up their eyes. Then we make our way to verse 28. And as they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther, but they urged him. And this is probably where Jesus has gone, finally. Because now they want to be with him. They approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther, but they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When they had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. I don't know how to explain that, but my picture, my conception of vanish, poof. Now they know who was with them. When were their eyes opened to recognize him? When they had communion with him. We look at communion and we go, okay, we got bread and we got the cup. And you see, communion is more than that. We all know, you've all been taught, communion in Greek is the word koinonia. It means communion. It means fellowship. It means partnership. You see, Jesus just doesn't want us to know about him. Jesus wants to be in communion with us. He wants us to know him. Communion is relationship, and that's what Jesus is seeking. Jesus seeks the same thing today. What Jesus is really desiring is a relationship. No, it's great if you know about him and you know God's word. Jesus wants a relationship. He wants communion with you. Jesus wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. And he's now opened up your eyes to reveal who he is. And when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you realize who this relationship and who this person is that you're in relationship with, there's only one thing that's left to do. And that's that you go share the relationship that you have. And there's some of you going, oh, I don't like that part. I'm not going to do that. It's hard to witness to somebody. I don't want to share Jesus with anybody. It's a good thing the Father decided to share Jesus Christ with you. Are you telling me you're selfish people? That you want to keep this gift all to yourself? And you don't want to share Jesus with anybody else? Jesus says, I need you to share me with other people. I came into this world. I came to seek and save what was lost. I don't want any to perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Share your gift. Look at these guys. Go to verse 33. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11. That's why they're not the apostles on the road to Emmaus. And those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experience on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Okay, now look at the way these guys started out. Look at the way they ended up. That gives me hope. That gives me hope in who I am. If these guys could turn around, anyone can turn around. If these guys did not recognize Jesus, now they recognize Jesus, so can we. Look at what they could not wait to do. Look at this. And they got up that very hour. And that's really important. The village of Emmaus was 7 miles west of Jerusalem. I'm thinking it's got to take them at least 3 hours. Something like that. So let's be really brave, fast, healthy people. 2 hours. I can make 7 miles in 2 hours. What time of day was it when Jesus approached them? It was late in the day. It was almost dark. It was almost the next day. You remember their time begins at 6 p.m. It was late in the day. The events of Jerusalem had already happened. They had already walked from Jerusalem and were on their way to Emmaus. They had been at least from there to here 2 hours. It was getting late. They now discuss with Jesus, go into the house, have communion. Jesus has already instructed them. And then at that very moment, they leave the house to go back to Jerusalem. You see, from Jerusalem to Jerusalem. I wonder how late it was when they got to Jerusalem. Notice, that very hour, it was more likely that it was dark. And by the way, on the road to Emmaus, there were no street lights. It would be desolate. It would be a little bit tougher walk back. They could not see so well. But they did not hesitate to make their way back. After they had experienced, guess what? We really saw Jesus. They headed out that very hour. Now, there's one thing about the roads around Jerusalem, especially at nighttime. If you're walking on those roads, you can expect to be robbed. But they left that very hour. You see, at this point, they could not wait to share their experience with Jesus Christ. And we come up with all sorts of excuses. They headed right to Jerusalem. We should be willing to share the gift that has been given to us at any time with anyone that the Holy Spirit says, I need you now. We need to be willing to step up. You all said, oh, I got the faith to believe that Jesus rose from the grave. Do you have the faith to believe that if Jesus says, I need you to talk to this person, do you have enough faith to believe he's already been there? What he needs is for you to share. But yet we're scared. We're nervous. I won't say the right words. We've been having a discussion on Bible study of, okay, what happens when I witness to somebody and it sounds like some sort of a goofball? If that person has been prepared by Jesus Christ to receive the word, all Jesus needs is somebody willing to give the word. He'll make it fit. So you can't mess up. It's a word coming straight from God to their heart. So we have no excuse. At that very hour, they started back toward Jerusalem. You see, on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they knew about Jesus Christ. On the road from Emmaus to Jerusalem, they knew Jesus Christ. Each one of us, as we're here on this earth, we're on a road. We're going somewhere. Do you know about Jesus Christ, or do you know him? If you establish a relationship with Jesus Christ, you would have enough faith to say, I believe he rose from the dead. There is no doubt. Jesus is requiring a relationship, that we personally know him. Accepting Jesus Christ is a blessing, but he just dumps blessings on after that because you're in the family. This morning, what road are you on? Are you leaving Jerusalem heading to Emmaus? You know about Jesus. You've heard stories. Or are you on the road from Emmaus back to Jerusalem? I know Jesus, and I have to share Jesus. What road are you on this morning? This day is a fantastic day, because it could be today is a day when somebody's in that house and meets Jesus and heads back to Jerusalem. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Are you in communion with him? You can today.